Welcome to ReaLaTV, your source for snarky reality TV recaps. I'm your host, Jody, and I break down all the shows you love and love to hate. This week, I'm changing things up a little bit, and I'll be bringing you 90 Day Fiancé and a new show for me, never watched it before, Big Brother. Now, Teen Mom 2 fans, fear not, because I will never neglect my teen moms as much as Janelle neglects her own children. Allegedly. Yes, I saw the news come out this morning. Now, fear not, I will be recapping both this week's episode and next week's on next week's podcast, just with 4th of July this week and me being a mom, and I have to obligate myself to bring my kids to those boring-ass parades and fireworks and all that other shit. Yeah, I just gotta do it. But next week, I will be back with Teen Mom 2. Now, let's get some business out of the way, and that being, if you are not a member on Patreon, get your ass over there already. I'm recapping Real Housewives of New York, sharing listener secrets, filling you in on all of the things that happen in between shows. And as the summer goes on, I'll be adding some things there, switching some things up. So yeah, I got some good plans ahead. Now that is just for $5 a month. And trust me, you get your money's worth. If you just want to support the podcast, but you're really not interested in, or you don't have the time to listen to all those extra podcasts, you can still help out the podcast, help me out keeping this little podcast that could alive. For a dollar a month, you get all of the regular podcasts like you're listening to right now earlier in the week before it hits your big podcast apps, but you'll still get them delivered right to your phone before I release them everywhere else. Okay, so we got that out of the way. If you want to talk with other reality TV fans, get over to Reality TV Pod on Facebook. There is a closed Facebook group as well as a Facebook page. So if you want to talk with other people, make sure you are clicking that join group or make sure it says Reality TV Pod Orchard of Snark. I just make sure that you're not some crazy bot and I'll let you right in. Also, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Reality TV Pod. Okay. All of that stuff out of the way, let's get into some 90 Day Fiancé. Boy, that rhymed and I didn't even mean it to. Now, just when I was getting used to what I thought was the best way to open an episode with Nicole standing beside the apart motel dump of a lake, we get David and Annie rolling up in that low-riding pickup truck. Now, I've already discussed this. We don't know if it's truly a low-rider or if it's just because David's large boom boom ass is at the wheel, but nevertheless, seeing those two grifters step outside that truck, oh my God, it gives me such the cringy chill. Now, Annie starts out by telling us, and no, I'm not going to do an impersonation because not only is my Thai accent not that great, I just think, maybe not the best thing to do in our political climate. But basically, she says, ever since she got here in America, everything has been go wrong. Everything is not what I expect before I come. Now, there's no easy way to say this without sounding like I am size or weight shaming David, because I am not the smallest girl myself, but I have to state the obvious. David looks drastically larger in these confessional videos than he does in some of these scenes that we're seeing. Now, I'm pointing this out because it bugs the shit out of me that he is claiming he's broke and scoffing at paying $58 for groceries, but clearly he's been having all the guacamole shrimp tacos he can buy, because you don't just gain weight like he has from drinking water and starving between paying for rent and meals. Bullshit. Well, David's sister Nancy is visiting from Philadelphia, so Annie is going to cook a down-home Thai meal for them all. You know David, he's just such a good host, rolling out the red carpet and making meals from scratch for the people he's about to milk money out of. David basically stole Cousin Eddie's playbook from the classic movie Vacation, where he asked Clark and Ellen for money because he's broke. He damn blindsided Nancy by telling her one thing on the phone for 6 months while he's been here, that he's doing great in that motherfucking firehouse. But then she gets there and he solicits a donation from her at her very own table. What the fuck? Now, not only that, but we find out in the past although really, I mean, is it that shocking that David has borrowed money from his sister Nancy and from his other sister and from his father? Here's a fact. David is lazy at hell and he's just refusing to work. He thinks it's everyone else's job to take care of him while he just waits it out until he gets the next handout. Now, to be honest, I was a little skeptical, or maybe a lot skeptical, of Nancy because she looks just like David with a little dash of Gru from Despicable Me. But she held firm and she had no qualms about saying no to David. Thank God, because I would have kicked her in the ovary if she were to have taken her checkbook out. Now let's jump to dinner the next night. And Ashley's at this restaurant to meet David, Annie, and Nancy. Shit got heated right away, and you know I was McDonald's style loving it. Annie starts in on the joke with everyone, joking about how maybe Nancy will come and help take care of her kids when she has kids with David, to which Nancy nearly choked on her salad. She asks Annie, are you aware that David has had a vasectomy and not only is it impossible for him to have kids, but if you can't pay rent and you're asking for thousands of dollars from people, having kids is basically a terrible idea. Now, at hearing this logical statement, Annie gets all pissed off and starts yelling that Ashley and Nancy have no right to tell her what to do with her life. Well, I'm just gonna put this out there. Annie, you are fucking flat wrong. When you are asking people for money to fund your lifestyle, yeah, they actually do get a say in it. I think we can all agree. Now, Ashley takes off after Annie ran away from the table like a total drama queen brat, kind of what I'm expecting my tween daughter to do in about 5-6 years. Now, when Ashley finally catches up with her, she tells her, you know, I know you think that we're being mean to you. And I have to say, I was not a big fan of Ashley last season, but maybe I'm an idiot. Maybe I'm gullible. But I think Ashley is being very sincere with her. I think she's probably trying to make amends with David for the sake of her own kids so that David can have a relationship with his grandkids. I think she's being the bigger person. She's trying to figure it out. But Annie is being a, sorry if I have early 20s listeners, but she's being a typical spoiled 23, 24-year-old brat. And she thinks that she's the victim in all this. Now let's just jump to the next day because things just don't get better. David and Annie come back to say goodbye to Nancy, and Annie thinks Nancy was being too harsh on her. And David says, yeah, Nancy is abrasive. Now, my cable was jumping around. We mixed some things up last night. Long story short, Comcast fucking sucks. But anyway, I might have missed something, but I didn't think that Nancy was being abrasive. She flew her ass or drove her ass to Louisville. She rented a house. She hosted you for the night. I'm guessing she probably paid for that dinner out. And now she is being abrasive. No, no, no. Nancy's just being honest, and that's the truth. Now, jump ahead another day, and gee, guess who's going out to eat again? Annie! Maybe if Annie and or David were to get a job at one of those hundreds of restaurants that they're going out to eat, even if they were bussing tables, washing dishes, I would say, you know, valet, but I don't know if I would trust either of them with that. But, you know, I mean, if you have time to be going out to eat, enjoying yourself, you have time to be picking up some jobs. And yes, I know this may be breaking the law, but you know what? Maybe find some job that's off the books or babysitting gigs, something, okay? But let's just get to this lunch scene. Annie is such a bitch about Ashley. Like I said, I think Ashley has been nothing but nice to her, but Annie still loves to talk shit about her. But this scene, I may curse and talk a lot of shit, but my prudish, naive 8 years of Catholic schooling side comes out when someone starts talking about Thailand's greatest dick suck bar. I'm literally looking around in my dark office right now because I think God above or someone's just going to hear me even talking about this. But Annie sure as shit doesn't care. Ashley, who I gotta think that she has seen a thing or two, been around the block a couple times, even she is taken aback by this. Now, this whole bar thing, I'm gonna build up to it. I have to build my wits about me. But Ashley kind of, well, she wants to know whether her dad was getting his dick sucked by Annie, and that's how they met, at a dick-sucking bar. I'm blushing because I think my sister is listening to this. Sorry, Jill, this is not my normal vernacular. But anyway, Annie at first acts offended, and then she just starts lying through her teeth because, of course, she met him at the dick-sucking bar, and she loves to talk about it now. And not only that, she teaches us a thing or two about ping pong bars and lady bars where vaginas do tricks and flips and pops and twirls. Oh, it was a lot. But she just loved telling Ashley about those good old days when she and David were just going bar to bar watching vaginas doing Tom Cruise's Scenes in Cocktail, woohoo, falling in love. Now, when I tell you that I would die if somebody not only told me about their experience in a lady show ping pong bar, let alone that they went there with my dad, oh, I would need a defibrillator and hit off my kid's inhaler. I'm like Mikey from Goonies in a cave with my inhaler, puff, puff, like a good 22 out of 24 hours a day. I feel like I need a hit now. Okay, let's move on to Nicole. She's been in Morocco for 2 days, although it feels like 2 years, and she says that she and Azan have been working on their problems. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to work out my problems with Azan's fucking fluffy sweater for the last week, so God only knows how these two morons have been able to work on their issues. I also see that Azan has purchased yet another leather jacket. This time it's blue to match the blue city. And I think I finally figured out why Azan is so drawn to May. We've had some uncomfortable discussions about this, but I think May is really just a very convenient distraction for Azan. I don't think he has that gross side to him, or at least I hope he doesn't. I just think May is the perfect wingman, so Azan doesn't have to give Nicole his full attention, just like maybe 50%. Now let's fast forward to the dinner, where it appears May is already up way past her normal bedtime, because it is definitely dark outside, and Nicole is asking Azan details about this embassy visit. Azan admits to talking to this embassy official about his ex-girlfriend who lives in Belarus. Now, Nicole is doing the right thing by pressuring for details for just a moment until she pronounced Belarus as Belarouge. God damn it, Nicole. Every time I try to see the positive with this chick, she lets me down. Who has not heard of Belarus? I mean, has she never watched the fucking Olympic opening ceremony? Now, anyway, a few days later, the trio is heading back to Azan's hometown to plan the wedding. May and her iPad, of course. God, that poor thing. I mean, it's a miracle that she doesn't have super thick Coke bottle glasses at this point. Or maybe she has, but they're under the mattress at the apart motel. But Azan's mom and sister are so excited to see Nicole and May, which quite honestly shocks me just as much as the first time Nicole went to stay with them. And it got me thinking, do you think they, let's put that in quotes, you know, I love to put something in quotes, love Nicole because Nicole is the one paying all their bills and rent? I mean, of course, Nicole doesn't know that she's paying for all that, but Azan has said it himself that he has to take care of his mom and he has to pay her rent and some bills. The sister and the mom seem genuine, but the whole setup is so bizarre that you can't help but wonder why they're so eager for Azan to lock it down. Now, jump ahead about 2 weeks if I'm doing the math correctly, and Nicole is headed to pick up Rob Lee from the airport. I was so excited for May, but I was actually dreading it for Rob Lee because I knew that she was going to be taking an inventory like any of us would be as soon as she arrived. Let's see, Asen's got on new shoes. He's wearing an Apple Watch. He's got a new Ann Taylor sweater from his collection that he's amassing. It's a lot of overtime at Starbucks to pay for all that shit. So what the fuck is going on? But there she is, that Florida blonde beauty with the rose gold suitcase. And man, May could not have been loving more on Robbie. And Asen could not have been cringing more. Holy awkwardness. I got really worried that it was going to get even more awkward when they stepped towards that van because I immediately wondered, oh shit, are they going to have to try to fit four wide in there? But thank God they had those face-to-face back sitting seats. Probably the first time May has looked into Nicole's eye for the first time in 2 weeks. But this lunch, over some tea or hopefully some hard alcohol in that cup, Robbie shoots it straight. How are they going to survive? For example, who's going to get a job? All of a sudden, this freelance work phrase comes up over and over. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember Asen saying that he was a waiter before. Now, I don't know about the Moroccan economy, but is there really a freelance serving market that Asen's got some hot leads on that he can just jump into? Like, hey, we're looking for a freelance waiter. No. And what's Nicole's future career in Morocco? I mean, I don't think she'd be anyone's number one candidate anywhere on their continent, let alone ours. So what are they going to do? And man, did Asen get all squirrely when Robbie brought up the other girls that he was dating and he was talking to. I mean, doth protest too much. He was so busted, and I loved how Robbie just didn't even give a shit. It doesn't even faze her. Oh, I wish I had her spine sometimes. But after all this, my favorite part of Robbie's scenes was when she was talking to the crew and she tells them, man, if they do get married, she is going to miss May an awful lot. But then she pauses and quickly adds, and Nicole too, of course. Okay, sure you will. All right, now let's get to Molly and Luis. Oh man, what a dark episode for Molly. We find that she's cleaning her house out, and although she seems down, I really do think that Molly's got a little pep in her step now that Luis is gone, and she's got a fire in her ass to just get it done. On the flip side of me being very enthusiastic for Molly, I wanted to kind of slap her because she said that she hadn't seen Olivia for a month. I actually had to go back and rewind because I was like, no, I couldn't have heard that right. But yeah, she hasn't even seen her teenage daughter in over a month. That's not good. She's not 18 yet, right? And she's living with her boyfriend and his family. Molly, she's doing that because you chose a bartender over her. Now, I know Molly knows this. She's got to feel like shit about it, but damn it, that is going to take a long time to fix that damage that's been done. That mother-daughter relationship, it doesn't just snap back. Shit. At least Molly is being smart and proactive with seeing attorneys about divorcing and deporting Luis. Last week, we met Mr. Conkey, and this week, we meet Irene Steffes. Now, she's less of a character than, I wish I would have thought of this last week, but our Badonka Conkey. But I enjoyed the little trip down K1 memory lane. We get to hear about that girls' trip that Molly went on to the Dominican where Luis looked at Molly and told her right away that he was going to marry her. Yeah, no red flags at all. But alas, Molly has a heart full of love to give, just like Uncle Jesse has for me. I know it. He may not realize it, but Jesse, I'm here for you, buddy. Now, she's heartbroken, but she's determined to just see it through that Luis, get the hell out of the U.S. Unfortunately, Molly learns that it could be up to a year before she can even score an interview to state her case and deny Luis's green card. I don't want to get too political here, but this begs the question, how the fuck does Luis get a year to scam Molly and our government, but we're so quick to just rip families apart? This is bullshit. To my non-American listeners, yeah, we know we got screwed over and stuck with a real messed up daddy who's got it all jacked up, we need a damn life alert necklace for our country. We've fallen and we need some help to get back up. And you know what? Speaking of falling and not being able to get back up, what happened to Rivers supposedly getting beat down this week by a fucking punch to the face by Pedro? TLC has been teasing us with this fight for weeks and we still didn't get it. We meet up with Pedro and he tells us how Chantel and he haven't talked since they had that fight about Pedro's little bitch of a sister throwing a hissy fit over sleeping on a brand new fucking couch. Now, on my other podcast, Moms on the Rocks, Carrie kind of held my feet to the flames about how I'm a Pedro apologist. And yes, I am. However, I can't defend him on this. Pedro absolutely should have taken Chantel's side. So let's talk about this. Sister Pedro, aka Nicole, says that Chantel was hysterical and made a tiny issue into a gigantic problem. Oh, okay, kind of like you refuse to sleep on a brand new fucking couch. I mean, what a freaking hypocrite. Now, I said this last week. Pedro is not innocent. However, I do think he thinks all women are spoiled and bratty and controlling because it's the only thing he knows. He learned that this is how women behave from his very own family. He's just attracted to the same kind of women that he's related to. And you know what? That's his burden to bear. I'm not going to defend him or condemn him for it. Now, later, Chantel comes home. And although she's hurt by Pedro taking his sister's side, which she has every right to, she's going to try to make things better. She's going to try to be the bigger person and make things better because, yeah, Sister Pedro is going to be there for another 2 weeks. Pedro was kind of a dick about talking with Chantel or refusing to talk to Chantel when she got home. Again, I'm always more on Pedro's side because of Chantel's family, but he was absolutely wrong in being an asshole to her. They end up having a little talk on the landing and Pedro's still being an asshole, so Chantel changes into another cocktail dress and leather jacket and she heads to her parents' house, which is a different house than it was last season. Just FYI, a little confused about this move. But anyway, Chantel tells her family that Pedro stayed in a hotel room with his sister. And this? Well, here go hell come. Her parents lose their shit. And then... River, the guy who just had an Instagram story calling Chantel over to him and calling her hot, or he said, oh, is my sister fine, or something disgusting, is now saying that Pedro is the nasty one. And then there was Thirsty over there. She was fucking dehydrated because she was rolling her eyes, trying to cross her arms over her boobs, trying to get her lines in about Pedro's skanky sister. Rolling her eyes like she's at a Nickelodeon acting audition. And then, of course, Mother Chantel delivers the a lot more stupider line. But I didn't even think that was the cherry on top. I thought her taking her jewelry off while maintaining her coffee clutch was truly a shining moment. Like Mother Chantel really has it in her to go over there and fight a 21-year-old Dominican chick. Yeah, I'd love to see you go and try that, cowgirl. Now, it's at this point Chantel does her usual about face. No, no, Pedro is so nice. Don't put me in the middle, you guys. I love him. He's the perfect husband. No. Now, Pedro is not perfect. He is doing his wife totally wrong. But Chantel, you are doing wrong too. You are the one stirring this shit up. She just fans the flames between Pedro and her family and just the families at each other. Now, let's just get Russ and Paola out of the way because these two beige as fuck crayons are headed back to the States. Paola's reminding us of her storylines. Number one, the sick grandma. Okay, yes, it's very sad. Number two, she misses her family in Colombia. And number three, Juan and Russ. Now, Russ is looking forward to going home, too, because I'm sure he is. It was a long script he had to memorize, and a Sally Field haircut from Steel Magnolias wasn't used to this Colombian humidity. So let's fast forward to Paola pretending she's a runner with her friend. You can tell these two have never actually gone for a run. Number one, because their hair is not in a ponytail, the jewelry, the accessories, and the lack of a proper sports bra. I'm a slave to details. I can't help it. Now, I also can't help but feel badly for Paula because of her recent miscarriage. It's a lot, and there's nothing perfect to say to someone who's had that kind of a loss. But I think it was pretty shitty of her to throw Russ under the bus for not being supportive of her. So now, let's go for a little doctor visit with Paula. I don't want to go ahead and toot my own horn and say I could be an honorary OB, but I did say exactly what this doctor said last week on the podcast or the week before. In other words, Paula didn't do enough research when she wrote this part of her script for the season. Guess what? Her blood type has nothing to do with her maintaining a future pregnancy. Blah, 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 blah. I'm probably going to get some shit for this, but if you watch the episode, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, George and Anfisa. Holy shit. George starts out by just schlepping his way into the therapist's office in his infamous purple polo and black hoodie, looking like the fucking overweight Unabomber. And I mean, would it kill you to get a freaking haircut, buy some clippers at TJ Maxx if you're on a budget, and just do it your damn self? Now, even this therapist with the Invisalign lisp can't even hide his disgust for George at this point. George is such a freaking liar and manipulator. He thinks that if he just had more money, everything would be better. Would we all love to win the lotto and be a millionaire or shit? I would love to be even a thousandaire at this point. But George is just his, I can't even get into his brain because it's so simplified yet separated from actual reality. The therapist was simply trying to tell George that although you think money is at the root of all this, what Anfisa is really wanting is just for you to be honest, whether it's about money or life or relationships. Now, I agree with Anfisa that no one is going to get through to George at this point, but I do have an issue with both of them seeing the same therapist for individual and couples counseling. Maybe I'm wrong. Therapists out there, tell me if I'm wrong, but isn't that kind of a conflict of interest? Perhaps it doesn't matter because George has no intention of going back to therapy because he thinks he's all good. He's going to do what he wants to do because he doesn't want to hear anything that is critical about himself that he needs to fix. It boils down to him just being lazy. If it's going to require more effort on his part, then just forget it. He wants easy money. His little gravy train with his marijuana business went under. There's a whole backstory to that. If you want to look into it, just Google it. But at this point, you just got to be a grown-up man. Grow the hell up. Now, speaking of growing up, you know what's coming. Red screen. Anfisa contacted production after one of George's ex-girlfriends contacted her, claiming that George is the father of her 10-year-old daughter. Gasp. I had a hand over the chest moment. Even the cat was jumpy and dodged under the bed. Now, apparently this woman contacted Anfisa before she even left Russia when she and George just started dating and said, hey, George is the father of her kid. But Anfisa just thought, oh, she's just a crazy ex. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say George really helped in that assumption by digging his hole really, really deep with lots of stories and lots of excuses and lots of diversions. However, we are here and now. This woman has reached out again and she gave Anfisa more information, which leads Anfisa to believe that George does, in fact, share DNA with this girl, is her father, and hasn't been involved in raising nor supporting her financially. There's also a photo that Anfisa is looking at, and she says that she sees some similarities in George. Now, pausing here for just a moment, I took a little personal inventory, and I admit that I had, and I still have some reservations about Anfisa, but I think it's because she came in so hot last season. You couldn't help but have a very strong reaction to her. But I gotta tell you, she has me feeling for her now. I really respect that she's smart. She knows that she could end up just like George's ex, with a child that he doesn't want to claim. He can just quickly say, oh no, that's not my kid. And then she's going to be alone with a child who doesn't have a father. Good for you, Anfisa. I totally respect that she's thinking this shit through and she's being cynical for the right reasons. Now, next week is going to be incredible because not only does Anfisa confront George about this child, but we get to see the punch heard around the world. Pedro taking River down. But actually, if you look closely and you go back and watch the scene over and over just for enjoyment's sake, like I did, I think River actually trips on the carpet or something, kind of like Luann did on Real Housewives of New York last week, because he's lunging towards Pedro, but I don't think he actually ever makes contact with him. But fear not, I will be dissecting it nanosecond by nanosecond for sure next week. I mean, one can never be too careful while breaking down a reality TV fight scene. Now, after a quick break, I'm going to give you my thoughts on Big Brother. All right, well, here we are. I have been asked for a couple seasons here with Big Brother. I think there's been, one or two seasons since I started this podcast. And I have been asked and asked, will you watch Big Brother? You got to check it out. I've never watched a full season simply because the rules seem so difficult to understand. I don't know if it's one of those shows you have to have watched several seasons or from the beginning to understand it. Unfortunately, I still have not caught on, but I did watch the first three episodes or the first 3 hours. I'm not sure how they break that down because I think it's on like Wednesday, Thursday, and Sunday nights. Again, I don't get the whole thing, but I did have some very strong opinions about the players. So I have my little notebook of notes here. I haven't totally thought it all through. This is just going to be kind of off the cuff, and we'll see where we all stand after this. Now, Sam, she is a full-time welder. She sounds exactly like Molly, that southern twang, kind of that high-pitched, gritty voice. Her hair is an interesting choice. I think there are a lot of under layers or thick bangs. Something's going on with that. I don't quite understand the look. Then we have Tyler, who is a beach lifeguard, and he's very insistent about his being a beach lifeguard. He never just says, I'm a lifeguard. Maybe there's like a class warfare going on between pool lifeguards and beach lifeguards. That could be a show in and of itself, right? Okay, so anyway, he has gigantic nipples, which I don't think he realizes is not a good look. Cover those nippies up. His hair is horrendous. However, he's one of those guys that thinks it's his best feature. hate the long, curly, thick, puby thing going on. And then, oh, I love this. He says his biggest weakness is his brain. I mean, it just writes itself. Okay, Bailey, she is Miss Missouri, and she's a flight attendant, and she is also a dead ringer, not only looks-wise, but personality-wise, as Candace from Real Housewives of Potomac. In other words, I think she's annoying as fuck. Steve, okay, thoughts on Steve. Well, first, he does get my utmost respect because he is a retired police officer. He is also teaching criminal justice as a former teacher. I respect fellow teachers, but I have to point out the obvious. Yes, he likes man baths. Does that make him a bad person? No. Does it make me think differently of him? Yes. Okay, it just does. I don't think it's normal for a grown man to just want to take a bubble bath. Also, I'm a little afraid to tell you my next thought because I might lose a few listeners, okay? But I speak the truth. That's my brand, right? Although I do think he resembles Dwayne The Rock Johnson slightly, I also think he carries a little person gene. I know he's a tall guy, but that doesn't mean that he's not a gene carrier. He really, if you look at him, I think he has the possibility to pass on achondroplasia. Is that what it's called? If you know what it's called, I'm going to guess that you're on my side, so it doesn't really matter. So yeah, I think he carries the little person gene. There, I said it. All right, Caitlin. Oh, right, Caitlin. She is definitely still on her eyebrow journey. When she said that she was 24, I damn near fell out of my chair because I thought she was pushing 40 easily. And I don't know whether it's because of the eyebrows. I think the eyebrows age her. She's got to grow those things out. I get it. I'm trying to grow mine in too. It's not easy for some of us, but you're 24. Stop plucking them now. Let them grow in. Trust me on this. Now, she is a life coach. She's very into crystals and oils, and she sees auras. So I'm going to think that probably within the next 6 to 12 months, we are going to see Audge from Little People Big World take on some of these traits. Because I think in the essential oil world, Audge likes to make connections and gather fame and attention from wherever she can. So I'm thinking if she sees this Caitlin girl is getting some social media hits because of this oil and orbs and crystals thing, Audge is going to jump on the bandwagon. And if you don't know who Audge is, oh, bless your heart. Live like no one's watching you live. Dance like no one's watching you dance. And just be proud of yourself that you don't know who she is. And don't you dare go look it up, because you will become one cynical bitch like me once you have. Okay, let's talk about Winston. He is in medical sales. He is a strong believer in the Second Amendment. Fuck you. Just kidding. No, not fuck you. With his gun. He kisses his gun. And he's also been in 6 weddings. He's never been a lucky groom, though. He's unlucky in love. Gee, I wonder why. It might be because you are the cockiest son of a bitch I've ever seen. Cannot stand Winston. But there's another one that I can't stand more, and I'll get to him in a minute. Then we have Angela. She is a fitness model. She doesn't want us to think she's just a pretty face. Oh, don't worry. That's not what I think of you. And you know what? She can't help it if everything she tries, like pole vaulting, she just picked one up one day, and next thing she knew, she was in the pre-trials for the Olympics. I mean, fuck off. This Angela chick is like every one of those girls you went to high school or college with, or maybe you work with them. They are so privileged and entitled and sheltered, but they think that they've worked hard for everything. I mean, who the hell says, oh, I don't want people to think I'm just a pretty face? Ugh. Okay, can't stand her. All right, JC. Where has JC been all my life? Well, one thing I found out about JC is that he has been partaking with minions. I'll leave it at that. But he is a little person. He is a professional dancer. He is from Spain. He is into powerlifting. And he loves a honey boo-boo face. This guy, JC, I love the guy. He's fun to watch. We keep trying to pull up YouTube videos, but I have to be very careful because, like I said, there is some evidence of him with a minion. But this guy dancing, he has made all of my little person dreams come true. Okay, that was the sound of me flipping the page and probably many people tuning out because I probably just offended someone. Hey, I'm a big supporter of the LP community. I've watched Little People Big World for years, and I even know that their friend Marty plays for the LP professional soccer team. I think they're called like the Clippers or something like that. Okay, anyway, let's get to Rachel. 5, 6, 7, 8, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, Rachel is our stereotypical Las Vegas dancing girl. She calls herself a hustler and a master in the art of manipulation and gameplay. And she also says, don't let my fake lashes and extensions fool you. Don't worry, Rachel, they haven't fooled me. I'm on to you, and so are the rest of us. Okay, now this kid, Chris, aka Swaggy C, he says he looks fly, and his job is picking up babysitting jobs in the suburbs. Not only do I question this babysitting job in the suburbs, but I also question giving yourself a nickname like Swaggy C. Jury's out on Chris. Now, then we have Angie, aka Rockstar. She's got the unicorn rave look kind of thing going, and she's got the massive Sylvia Weinstock glasses, you know, the one that does like the cake decorating on all these shows. She's also some sort of nature vegan witch or something. She's a lot to look at. I don't know if I like her or not, though. Now that we have Brett, this is the guy I cannot stand. If there were a machine, like in the movie Weird Science, where you mix up all these different qualities to make the most unlikable person that Jody would want to punch in the face, kick in the nuts, break his back over my knee. Oh God, I'm like really even scaring myself with this kind of stuff. It would be Brett. He calls himself a bro. Yeah, you heard me right. He calls himself a bro and burly boy. He is a cybersecurity specialist. And then he puts on fake glasses because he says when he puts on fake eyeglasses, it makes him look smarter because he doesn't want people to judge him for his looks. You won't have to worry about that because we're judging you from the moment you open your stupid fucking mouth. God damn it, Brett. I mean, seriously, what would you do if your son grew up and were a Brett? Never be a Brett. All right, then we have Casey. I actually like Casey. She is a female professional football player. Her mom was adorable. Really don't have anything bad to say about her. I like her. I approve. Oh, actually, one thing I do have to say about her. She really reminds me of Kale's friend Peach, Kale from Teen Mom. Her friend Peach. Peach and Casey are very simpatico. All right, then we have Scotty. He is from Shorewood, Illinois, not too far from where I live. He has never been kissed. Oh, Scotty. He is a gamer. He loves a, what's that called? Dungeons and Dragons. He's very into that. I'm guessing he probably does a lot of LARPing, a lot of Renaissance fair, probably has lots of costumes, probably into some cosplay. Maybe he's into the plushie fetish, but I don't know. He's kind of too innocent for that kind of stuff. But anyway, I really enjoy Scotty. If I knew how the hell this game was played, I'd probably be rooting for him. Now we have two more house guests. One of them would be Haley. Haley is another one. If you were to tell me the difference between Haley and what's the other one? I mean, this literally, I can't tell them apart. I have to go back and look at their names because they all blend. Rachel and Angela, they're all the same person, basically. Haley is just a younger version, maybe, of those because she's very into, I'm just a country girl. I like to sunbathe on my roof, and I used to have to do chores when I was little, and just because I hump inflatable bulls in front of my mom and dad don't mean that I'm not smart. This girl, I can't stand her. She's like every beauty pageant wannabe where they want to come in with the backstory of they're the country girl, but with brains. But this girl, ugh, I cannot stand her. Now, then we have Fessel. He looks like he should probably be on like a Florabama Shore or some sort of version of Shaw's meets Jersey Shore, something like that. But he is a football player. He's also a substitute teacher and he is a practicing Muslim. Not quite sure why they made that like a big part of the storyline, but if it's to make people more accepting, I'm all for it. Now, let's get into the game playing part of the show. I don't totally understand it from my research. I really did research. I tried so hard, you guys. There's like a wiki page, there's a fandom page. I looked at previous seasons to see how they played it. What I'm gathering is it's kind of like Survivor with a mix of the real world and chess and just some weird fantasy element. This supercomputer thing, which was one of these challenges, all I could focus on was who has to clean all this shit up in that slime thing when they're looking for the folder. And then there was some sort of stacking game. I don't totally understand it. So there's a winner from those. And then those people go on to do some other
challenges. And then at one point, Sam is a robot and Kaylee, whatever the hell her name is, she's got to wear this butterfly rainbow costume. And every time the thing spins around, she can't leave the room. But I got to talk about this freaking robot thing. I couldn't get over it. And I feel like that is where this show lost me. So this girl, Sam, is not in a robot costume. Okay, if you haven't seen this show, I'm guessing she's somewhere in a back room and they have this robot, like a R2-D2 robot roaming around, and all of the house guests are staring into the face of this robot, talking to her as if Sam is in it, like looking into the robot's eyes. And Sam is speaking through this robot. And then when she comes back, she's crying and sad because she feels like she's been isolated from the roommates. And then JC gets all attitude-y with her that she should be grateful that she's there. It's just so fucking bizarre. Now, then we get to this head of household thing. This, again, is where the game totally loses me. I feel like they should have some sort of beginners or Big Brother 101 course or elective show for new people. Because I have to tell you, as someone new jumping in, this show makes no sense. And I know it's a massive show. It's a huge hit for CBS, but you got to be able to have new viewers jump in and understand the game. And it's damn near impossible. I kind of get the head of household thing, but then you have this power of veto and some sort of gold or diamond vote or veto thing. Or are they doing that this season? I looked that up from previous seasons. Totally lost me. But from what I gather, Thessal did something and there are now two people up for being voted out of the house. Am I getting that right? Sam and someone else, but Sam's got some power of robot something, so she probably won't be voted out. And that's the other thing. Do we vote? Do they vote? Totally confusing. Now, I'm probably going to give this one, possibly two more episodes. And if I can't catch on, I don't know what I'm going to do. Or if you know of a website or if you know of something that can give me a quick little review, please tell me because I would love to jump into this and understand it. But right now, all I'm seeing is a very bright living environment that almost gives me a migraine and just a lot of moving pieces that I'm not understanding. Okay, so I'm going to leave it at that. Sorry if I lost you there. Sorry if I'm letting some of you down, but I'll jump in if you can help me out. All right, now you can help me out by heading over to iTunes, leave a 5-star review if you love reality TV. Check out my new podcast, Moms on the Rocks, talking a lot of reality TV stuff over there too. So check it out. If you want to find me on Instagram and Twitter, remember it's at reality TV pod everywhere. And in the meantime, have a fantastic 4th of July week. Have a great weekend. I'll see you guys next week with more 90 Day Fiancé, Teen Mom 2, and perhaps some more Big Brother. All right, take care, you guys. Talk to you soon. Stay salty.